Continuing our reflection on the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, as I would said we would do during the month of July. Since the month of July, as I said too earlier, is dedicated to the precious blood of Jesus, it is a fitting way to honor our Lord in his precious blood by reviewing the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, so that better and better we can assist at the Mass and gain all the graces and fruits that come from it. A couple of Sundays ago, as we began our reflections on the Mass, I mentioned that as the Mass is the sacrifice of the new law, what sacrifices were offered in the old law have now been put away, have been dispensed from, and we now come to what the sacrifice is now for the new law. And the new law continues in what we have here is presented to us, and what we see here is of the Roman Rite for the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass. Last week we talked about the Mass of the Catechumens, that first part of the Mass that is set up more for instruction and teaching for us, largely through the epistle and gospel, but also by means of many other prayers and other points that we have that are there to assist us, instruct us, fill our hearts with those points of instruction as we get ready for the devotional parts of the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass. And that's what begins with our consideration today on the offertory of Mass, the offertory being that time in which the bread and wine are offered up to Almighty God in this particular point of preparing in these thoughts of our prayers that we are preparing our hearts for that great mystery that is going to come of the change in the bread and wine into Christ's body and blood, but also that we can see through this offertory that as God had asked before in the Old Testament that this offertory be done for sins and praise of Almighty God in petitioning for any graces that we need and just in general for points of adoration. We see these all fulfilled in the prayers of the offertory so that more and more as we prepare and as we assist at the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, we are ready for that. Also, I mentioned this a couple of Sundays ago and said we'd become more to the details of it when we discussed the offertory, but the prayers of the offertory of the Mass make it plain and clear that the Mass is not only the sacrifice the priest offers up, but it is your sacrifice too as well. In many places, this thought occurs. So it's not just some ceremonial liturgical rite, but for those who really assist, who follow the prayers, who make the Mass their own in this way, will truly profit from all the graces in this way, and also, too, fulfill their obligation of worship to Almighty God, that obligation that has come centuries old in offering sacrifice. And we'll see that as we go along with the various points in the prayers that come up. One thing I would like just to mention just briefly before we get into the reflecting on the various prayers of the offertory is that the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, is the elements, if you will, those gifts that are offered up to Almighty God. They are of unleavened bread and wine that has been naturally fermented. Any other way, any other source in which of elements tried to be used at Mass would invalidate it. Even the priest said the correct words. If he did not have unleavened bread and did not have naturally fermented wine, then it would be wrong. We're following what it is that Jesus did at the Last Supper. And as they did there at the Last Supper, because it was Passover time, there was unleavened bread and the wine of their time was more naturally fermented. So this is why we follow along that particular point, and it's important, very important for our considerations here, so that we understand why this, we're going to see in a few minutes here, how it's not common ordinary bread and common ordinary table wine that is used, but special bread, special wine that is even more so set apart in a special way for our use here upon the altar. The offertory begins with the greeting of the priest. It happens several times during the Mass, usually at some point of a transition that takes place. The priest says, Dominus vobiscum, and the server replies, Et cum spiritu tuum. It's a wish, a prayer, if you will, of the priest to the people that the Lord will be with you at this time, assist you to gain the graces here, to continue with thoughts all the way through this Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, so that it can be truly pleasing to Almighty God. Fewer distractions, a fitting act of worship to God that can be done. The server responds back as a wish back of the people, back to the priest, that this same blessing of God can be upon the priest as he offers Mass too as well, so we can receive these same blessings from Almighty God. After that Dominus Vobiscum is said, then is said the offertory prayer. The offertory prayer is unique in its the words that it says, the meaning that it has, the graces we are asking for, the reflections that we have. It's unique at every Mass. It's one of the changeable parts of the Mass. Last Sunday, I spoke about the introit, the gradual, and the communion verse as being parts that are together. One flows to another, and completely together they give us an idea of the theme of the Mass for that day. The offertory prayers also does that too as well. It follows the theme that comes either from the instruction of the epistle and gospel or continues with what the introit and the gradual and the communion verse will have. Basically, what you're looking at, what the church is presenting us to with this offertory prayer of once more reflecting upon this theme is that we can keep that thought before our minds. The human weakness is that we too quickly get distracted. We can too quickly forget about those points that we need to have in mind, especially about spiritual points here, so that what we offer or what we assist at in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass can be so fruitful for us. You heard me said before, and I'm going to continue to say many more times, what we put into our efforts here in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, what we put into it is what we get out of it. If we put little into it in our reflection, our considerations, our looking at the words, our meditation on these thoughts, getting rid of distractions, keeping our mind focused upon this as our worship of God, if we put that into it, that effort and more, then many graces come to us in an abundant manner. But, you know, the other thing flows too. If we let ourselves get distracted, if we let the Mass itself become too mechanical, and so everything just kind of breezes right by, or we're worried about other things. Well, Father, I was just praying about all the stuff I have to worry about after Mass. No, leave it. Pray, honor God. God will take care of that. Put first the things of God, our Lord said, and then everything else that you're worried about will be added to you, will come together, if you put first the things of God. And so here we are at these particular points here, looking at what this prayer, the theme that comes up with this. Let's look at the theme for today. The theme for today, as hopefully if you could see it, as following the epistle and gospel of today and some of the other prayers, the basic theme of today's Mass is that of humility, of being able to grow in humility. St. Paul in the epistle is reminding the Corinthians that just because they had received special gifts from God through the Holy Ghost, that it was not something because they were good or better than other people, that's why they had those gifts, but that the Holy Ghost gave certain gifts for the church at that time according as he will, St. Paul said, in the manner in which it could be done. Somebody may not have thought somebody was particularly worthy of it, yet God chose to have this person use this gift for his greater honor and glory, or as St. Paul calls it, to profit for the glory of God, the salvation of souls. In the gospel story, it's obvious that the theme there is from humility. The Pharisee is one who is so proud in what he says, even though his words seem like words of common prayer, they are words that go back to praise himself. Where the publican, who was supposed to be recognized as a public sinner, he enters into the temple, stays away from it in the back, and prays to God and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. No wonder it is then that Jesus says that the publican went home justified. God heard his prayers. His sins were forgiven rather than the Pharisee. Because he who humbles himself shall be exalted before God. So there and a few other points that come up with the prayers of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass give us the understanding that what we pray for today is the grace of humility. Not that we can never gain that grace at all at any time from God, but today, more abundantly, in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, because that is our theme, you will, the point of prayers that we are praying the most for, that if we have particular trouble with this virtue, today is the day to pray for that grace, and it will come. Pray earnestly, pray well, and it will come in abundance in this manner, because that's what comes the liturgy of today's Mass in the church. And we can see it. Let's look at just a part of the prayer that comes up for the offertory. The offertory prayer is usually, at this particular point, part of the Psalms. And King David is here to say, to thee, O Lord, have I lifted up my soul. In thee, O God, have I put my trust. I have not put my trust in myself. I have not put my trust in other men. I have humbled myself from that, and I put my trust only in God. With this confidence that comes from that point of humility, that none who wait upon thee, none who turn to thee for grace, none who seek thee in every way, none shall ever be put to shame who seek thee in this manner, in this humble manner. thought this, the offertory prayer is just so important, and it sets our heart, sets the tone, if you will, for what is now to come, and also reminds us of other thoughts that had occurred in the introit and the gradual of today's Mass, and even in the collect, the grace or the collect, that part of the Mass, where we pray for the special grace of today that we need. After that prayer, the changeable part of the Mass, the offertory prayer, we come to the prayers of the offertory themselves that are now unique and unchangeable in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. These are what set before us the works of offertory, and if we follow the prayers and make these prayers our own, then again we can see as we are preparing for our act of worship. The first prayers, at least the prayers in the beginning, are those that set apart the host and the wine from common ordinary use. By being offered up as an oblation is an act of sacrifice, as God had said in the Old Testament. It's an act of sacrifice in which everything is given. Nothing is kept back in reserve. In some acts of sacrifice, some things were kept back in reserve to feed the priest or things of that nature. Not so with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Everything, the whole element is offered up. Jesus Christ, whole and entire, is offered up to his eternal Father in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And we show this in the offertory, preparing for these thoughts of this offering of Christ when he will come down upon the altar and accomplish this act of sacrifice. These things come up to us here when the host is offered up separately, and at that point consecrated, if you will, dedicated specifically to be used in this act of worship. The next comes up when the wine is similarly offered up in that manner. But there's something unique here, and we need to pay a point of attention. I'm not going to get bogged down in details, but it comes back to the point of the spirit in which we follow the prayers of the offertory that help us to understand more and more that this is our act of sacrifice, our act of worship, and we need to put into it as much as and as best as we can. This first prayer in which the sacred host is offered up. The priest prays, "Accept, O Holy Father, almighty and eternal God, this spotless host." It's spotless because Christ himself is all holy, all pure, God himself, and so it's fitting that the host should be. But he says there, "Which I, thy unworthy servant, offer unto thee, my living and true God, for my innumerable sins, offenses, and negligences, and for all here present." Now here's, I'm going to step back just for a second. This opening prayer of the offertory, this is the only time that you're going to find from this point on in which the priest addresses things in the singular regarding himself, because he himself is a sinner. And in far as any sins, offenses, and negligences, mortal sins, venial sins, willful faults and failings that keep me away from the right service of God, acting as a Christian as I should, these are things that all demand expiation. They demand sorrow on our part to promise to God that I will no longer commit them, fall into them in my life. I know I must strive for perfection, and this is what I am trying to do here. But the priest prays individually for his own sins because he is the principal one who offers up the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass. But then he says that the Mass, this prayer is also for those here present and also for all faithful Christians, living and dead, that this Holy Sacrifice might avail both me and them for their life, for salvation and life eternal. Now, the point to kind of reflect upon here is the graces that come from the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass. We're starting to learn some things here about how much the abundance of grace, how it flows upon individuals as far as the Mass and its infinite value and the graces that come. The priest is going to be the primary recipient of many of the graces that come because he is the chief offerer of the Mass. Any of those involved closely to the Mass, like the servers, are going to be receiving extra Masses too, or graces too. But those who are present for Mass, like the priest is praying here, for all here present, those who are present here receive a share in the graces that come from the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass that are not the same, not in abundance, as are found, that will be found rather, by those who aren't at Mass for whatever reason. Masses through the week, or maybe they're sick and couldn't come for Mass on Sunday. Whatever the reasons might be, there is this, I almost wanted to use the word hierarchy, but it's an understanding of the abundance of graces and how that it flows. Grace is important. Grace is a treasure from God. But there are going to be different amounts that are given according to the way in which people assist at Mass. So when you are here for Mass today, you are going to be receiving an abundance of graces than if you were at home, especially more on Sunday, but even during the week. If because of work or school or other things like that, you can't make it for the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass during the week, if you unite yourself with that Mass being offered, that if during that, during your prayers, you say, I wish to unite myself with the Mass that is being said, either at the altar here at the church here at 8 o'clock, or all true altars throughout the world where the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is offered, if I unite myself with that, then because of what we're seeing here from the prayers of the offertory, I'm going to be gaining graces. If I let my day go in a distracted manner and don't think of how the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass applies to me, even when I'm not there, that I desire to be there for this act of worship to Almighty God, but circumstances make it that I can't, if I just let my mind wander away from that and don't even reflect upon it, I don't gain any grace at all. The many graces that can come through the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass to assist in every way. So you see, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass is such an abundant work, an abundant source of all graces to us, but more so when we're present here. And our reflections need to be on that so that, again, the more we put into it, the more we are here assisting at Mass with our whole heart, mind, and soul to God, then the more we will gain from it, the more graces will come. Such an abundant thing, a great way to think. But from this point on, the priest now will speak in the plural. And at this point, it becomes our sacrifice, yours and mine. Before those prayers continue, the priest goes over to the epistle side of the altar and prepares the chalice by pouring in wine with a small drop of water. The mystery behind that, the mystical significance of pouring the small drop of water into the wine, is to show how Christ, as Almighty God, became man, and this insignificant thing of the creature, human being, became part of the divinity in order for Christ to be able to accomplish the work of redemption. But it had to be done. And so that small drop of water into the wine represents, remembers, helps us remind us at that point how Christ became man. It's an interesting thing. I wish people could see it, but you don't unless you're offering Mass yourself. And looking into the gold chalice, after the wine is poured in and you pour in the small drop of water, it goes in and it has a difficulty. You can almost like see, it's not a ripple. You can just see the water mixing because the water is its own element and the wine is not water. It's the fruit of the grape. So the two elements coming together, there is a bit of almost want to say confusion, but as you can see it comes in, and then pretty soon it all blends in together to the point you can't distinguish one from the other, the wine from where the water was, just as it was with Christ. You could not distinguish between the man and God in Jesus Christ. That's one of the chief mysteries of our faith. So anyway, after that, as the chalice has been prepared, the priest returns to the middle and offers the chalice up now. So the sacred host, as bread, has now been set aside for specific use in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, and as the prayers say, looking ahead to the fact that they will become the body of Christ, so too now with the prayers of the offering up of the chalice with wine. The priest says, we offer this. This is this point. It is not in the singular anymore. It's in the plural. We offer this, offerimus tibi domine. We offer this holy sacrifice. We offer rather this chalice of salvation, beseeching mercy for us and for the entire world through these prayers that we pray on this day. After the priest has prayed that prayer for the offering up, the oblation part for the wine, then he bows there before the altar, prays that this sacrifice might be pleasing. He knows as best as any of us should that it's possible for us to take the holiest of all actions and make them not as pleasing to God as they should be. Distractions that come up, our mind is elsewhere, other things that can take place can make our prayers less pleasing to God and less productive of grace. The priest is here joining together in the plural saying, please make this sacrifice more pleasing to God. And then he prays, come, O sanctifier, almighty eternal God, asking for the Holy Ghost now to come and bless this sacrifice, which was prepared in honor of thy holy name. At this point, after those prayers are finished, at a high mass, you will see that the altar is incensed. The server brings up incense, and then the priest incenses the altar, every part of the altar, top, middle table, bottom. The altar is the altar of sacrifice. It is where worship is accomplished before Almighty God. This is why it is so important. And this is what the incense means. Incense is a sign of our offering of our prayers to Almighty God, of giving back to God that which it is. Since incense ascends heavenward, it's like our prayer ascending that way. As the altar is incensed, as God had said to do in the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus, as the altar is incensed, we are dedicating this and making it not just a symbolism here, a place of things that take place, but we're actually dedicating it to the worship of God on which the holy sacrifice itself will take place. Then follows the priest returns to the epistle side of the altar for the washing of the hands and the reading of Psalm 25. The washing of the hands by the priest is not just the idea to wash his hands in case they've gotten dirty. Their symbolism there is going to be that the priest is there showing that he needs this purity, purity of heart, purity of body. He is soon going to become handling the body of Christ himself. It's a humbling fact to think about that, that as a priest, I have an opportunity to handle God. This washing of the hands with the recitation of the Psalm 25 is the prayer of continuing asking for the innocence that is there, to walk among the innocent, that I'm able to give praise to thee and thy holy church, and so many other parts of that important psalm. So it's not, again, it's just not some ritual that's just thrown in there. The symbolism of it is wonderful and entire. Following that, the priest returns to the middle of the altar and says a prayer to the Holy Trinity. In praying to the Holy Trinity this way, he does so bowed toward the altar, and that symbolism of that bowing shows that spirit of humility that comes. He is asking to receive this oblation, this complete sacrifice that is being offered up, to receive this oblation made in honor of the passion, resurrection, and ascension of our Lord. The passion, the resurrection, the ascension. These three great mysteries of our Lord's life are commemorated here in the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, as we continue on through. And they would see that this is repeated later on after the Paternoster. We're reminded again of our Lord's passion, resurrection, and ascension. True, the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, is the sacrifice of Calvary repeated. But also, as we progress through it, and as many people reflect upon the Mass in showing the life of Christ as it continues through, then they will see, as the Mass comes to a close, the point of his resurrection and even his ascension into heaven to be with his Father. Anyway, it's all part of a way in which we reflect and follow with the Mass. But along with that prayer to the Holy Trinity, we're saying that the Mass is offered up to the Holy Trinity in honor of the Passion, Resurrection, Ascension of Jesus Christ, and in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary, in honor of St. John the Baptist, in honor of Saints Peter and Paul, of the saints who are here on the altar of these, that's what in that prayer, what it means, of these who are on the altar here, of all the saints in heaven. We're praying these prayers in honor of them to give them due honor, but ask them for our prayers to aid in our salvation, because that's what the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, these prayers are dedicated to and how they will assist us. Then follows the next prayer that really, of all the things, again, if anybody has any doubt about the Mass as being our sacrifice, it is in this prayer known as the Orate Fratres. The priest turns, faces the people, and spreads his hand and just as not much of a greeting as an entreating upon them, pray, orate fratres, pray, brethren, that my sacrifice and yours will be acceptable to God the Father Almighty. There's a recognition here. The church has recognized ever since the beginning of the Mass being offered, from the time in which it was offered in the Roman Rite, and this prayer was prayed to remind people, to the close of the offertory here, we have been praying now in the plural. We must remember that this is our sacrifice, yours and mine. We're praying that it will be worthy and received by God in a worthy manner. We need to keep those thoughts high within us as we continue later into the more sacred part of the Mass, the consecration, the canon of the Mass, all of these particular things. We need to have those thoughts in our mind here. This is my act of sacrifice. What I put into it is what I get out of it. And the server responds, may the Lord receive the sacrifice at your hands. So recognizing the priest as the principal offer, may the Lord receive the sacrifice at your hands for the praise and glory of God for our welfare and that of all of his holy church. So we're recognizing here the importance of the holy sacrifice, the Mass, as yours and mine, as an act of worship to Almighty God. Following the Orate Fratres is the prayer that is known as the secret prayer. It's secret because it is said quietly, and has been done so like this for many, many centuries. And it was, and the ritual of it says that it should be secretum in Latin, which means in secret, in quiet. So there is no mention of it. Why? Those particular points, I don't know particularly why. I can't give you, a full answer. When the Mass was developed and brought to where it is today, why certain parts of the Mass are said so quietly as compared to others. But perhaps maybe, and some of the liturgists say for the secret prayer, that this brings for you in mind after all of the offertory prayers and the thoughts that come up through the offertory, that we have a chance in our own secret of our own heart now to reflect upon these points before we go on to the canon of the Mass and the consecration. You see, the secret prayer is also based upon the intention of the day, the intention of the day that comes up from the collect of the day's Mass, the intention that comes up in some way also from the introit, the gradual, the communion verse, thoughts we had at the offertory prayer, and now come up today. We're continuing petitions that we had in the communion prayer of Mass, or rather the collect of Mass. We're continuing that petition through the secret prayer. The secret prayer is always divided into two parts. One part is that the sacrificial elements may be blessed and consecrated. They have been offered up to Almighty God, set apart for worship, and now we want these to be quickly consecrated soon, not too far away in the Mass. These will be consecrated. And the second part of every secret prayer involves the point of the graces that comes through the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, that we want these blessings bestowed upon us in a great manner. Knowing that, then, let's look at today's secret. Today we say, may these sacrifices, which thou hast appointed, be offered for the glory of thy name, and be hallowed, that they remain a remedy for all our ills. So there's the two elements of the secret prayer done. We're saying that we want these sacrificial elements and blessed and consecrated, appointed to be offered for thy holy name, and then we want them to remain hallowed, holy, greatly holy, that in all ways they can remain a remedy for us. We want the graces of the sacrifice of the Mass to become upon us in a great way. It's like the collect of today's Mass. That's the Mass and that prayer in which we find many of the graces that we're petitioning. There's just one short line in that collect. Multiply upon us thy mercies, O Lord. Multiplicanos misericordium tuum. Multiply upon us thy mercies, it's said in the collect of today's Mass. And that's the thought that's continued here with the secret prayer. We want these mercies, these graces multiplied so they can remain a remedy for us against every ill that we have. Wonderful considerations as we come to the close of the offertory. From this point on, the priest begins at this point, which will be in the beginning part of the canon of the Mass, where the preface and other prayers before the preface takes place. So we'll save the consideration of that to next Sunday and finish our consideration of this day with just with these thoughts of these prayers of the offertory. I hope, like I said last week, my prayer, my wish for all of you as we review these prayers, the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, that they'll start to have more meaning for you. That if the Mass had just become something commonplace and coming to them, maybe this short review, and I give you a full understanding, this is but a short review. There is much more we could reflect upon here in every prayer of the Mass, but we don't have that kind of time. I leave it to you to pray. That's why we have material in the back of the church that you can take and continue reflection. The sisters have a catalog with some books that are available to continue these thoughts, so the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, can mean more and more to you. Well, my prayer is that these reflections on the prayers of the Mass will create in you a desire to want to know more about the Mass so that you can pray it better every time you come, and that every time you pray your prayers well regarding the Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, the abundance of graces that can come will be multiplied upon you day by day more and more. Even if you assist in the Mass in spirit, you can still gain many graces, and I encourage you to do that. The Holy Sacrifice, the Mass, is our greatest act of worship to Almighty God, the greatest things that we can show as creature to Creator, our greatest source of blessings and graces. May we always use it well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.